Thank you, Maraca, for that beautiful song. Now let's look at our scriptures this morning. It's going to be from Matthew chapter... Chapter 6, and I'll be reading verses 5 through 8. Last Sunday, I shared a message. It's entitled, Jesus Teaches His True Worship. And last Sunday, it's talking about how we are to give to the needy, and it talks about how the different ones in Jesus' day, the scribes and Pharisees, they saw things a little bit different than Jesus did. And Jesus is teaching us here on the Sermon on the Mount, a part of from chapter 5, chapter 7. And now we're going to be looking this morning at beginning of how we are to pray. Next Sunday, we're looking at the Lord's Prayer as a prayer model for us. The disciples asked Jesus, how do we pray? And Jesus began out by addressing the Heavenly Father. And we'll look at that next Sunday. But this morning we'll be looking at verse 5, and we'll be looking at what Jesus says about prayer. So if you will look with me at verse 5, Matthew chapter 6. When you pray, Jesus says, you are not to be like the hypocrites. And now, he's mentioned that several times in this chapter, in chapter 5 as well. For they love to stand and to pray in the synagogues and on the street corners so that they may be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. In verse 6, but you, when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. In verse 7, and when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. In verse 8, so do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask. You know, I often think about that when I pray. Or when we pray, that the Lord knows what we need before we ask. But he loves to hear from us, doesn't he? And that verse right there, you know, tells us the Father knows what we need before we ask him. But in reverence and in contrite of spirit, we address him and he answers our prayers. Now, as we look this morning, we're going to learn how we are to pray to the Lord and how we worship the Lord in prayer. You know, prayer is worship because we're coming before a holy Father, a mighty God that hears us. And we're, you know, in secret, or when we're in our prayer room, our office or at home, whatever, maybe you're driving down the road, you can worship God by praying and seeking his will. So it's to be done entirely for him and not public display for others. Now, every act of true worship is to be based on a right understanding of God's nature. And God's nature is holy. God is righteous in all ways, and a right valuing of God's worth above all things, above everything else in this world. So let's look this morning at our prayers are for God's ears, according to verses 5 through 8. So looking at verse 5, Jesus said, when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites. Now, we know by now that the term hypocrite, you know, it's been mentioned many, many times, is a reference to the scribes and the Pharisees. And Jesus told us that they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets. Now, it's okay to be out in public praying. We do it all the time, don't we? When we have our National Day of Prayer, we're right down here on the square, and we invite people to come and partake in a time of worship and praise to God, thanking Him for many different things in our schools, our churches, our families, our law enforcement, and different things. And we are uniting together, but we're not standing to be public notice, but we're coming together as a community, worshiping and praising God. So Jesus didn't have in mind that we shouldn't pray publicly, but it's how, the condition of our heart, if we do it to be noticed, that's a different thing than doing it unto Him. Now, so it says they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners, and that's verse 5. For what he had in mind was the what I call canonical prayers. That's a word probably you don't hear every day, but it's a term that the Jews were familiar with. The Pharisees were obligated to pray certain long prayers called the psilocutorial prayers, and that's another word you probably don't hear every day, but it's something that the Pharisees and the scribes, they did at a set time of the day within the canonical framework. And that revolves around the Word of God, the canonical or canon also. And all the Jews were to stop. Wherever they were to stop. And they were, what they were doing, and whatever place a man found himself, he was supposed to stop and pray. Many years ago, when I was working at the Space Center, we had a man that was a different religion than Christianity. And we would be in meetings, and he would politely get up and leave and go, and he would pray. And, of course, I guess that's what we should have stopped and done right there in the office as well, is to pray. But then in about 30 minutes, he would come back and resume with the rest of us. So there's a lot of religions that has different way of praying, but the right way is to pray to the Heavenly Father. There is no other God. There's only one God, and we are to worship Him in truth and in spirit. Now, in verse 6, which speaks about going to your room, shutting the door, and praying to your Father in a secret place. Now, that is a good quality time, personal time, between you and the Lord. We are to do that each day. At some given time, even in if it be in the morning, noonday, afternoon, or night, whenever you are fresh, do you want to go before the Lord and just pour out your heart in praise and worship to Him, and have whatever prayer needs, concerns you might have, that's what we are to do. The Greek word here for room means a storehouse, a separate apartment, one's private chamber, a closet, or a den where one can withdraw from the world and shut the world out and commune with God. See, that's what it's about. It's just you and God. You and the Lord and the Holy Spirit amongst all of that, helping us to commune with God. See, Jesus was saying that instead of praying in the synagogues and on the street corners go into a room, into a place of privacy and seclusion. Looking for different examples in the Bible, I found that Isaac, for example, went into a field and prayed. You can read that in the Old Testament, where he would go out in a field and just pray to the Almighty God. And then Christ, where did Christ go? He went to the mountaintop, didn't he? He went to the mountaintop and prayed. And Peter, in I believe it Acts chapter 10, went up on the rooftop, housetop, and prayed. And this was in privacy. Oftentimes, Jesus took the disciples with him, and he would tell them to stay and pray that they not be led into temptation, that Satan not trick them and deceive them. And he went on above, just a few feet above or yards or whatever that time was, and prayed him one-on-one to the Heavenly Father. And they were to pray to the Heavenly Father as well as Jesus was praying. They would be praying for one another. So when we pray to the Lord in our secret place, your Father, who sees what is done in secret, says he will reward you. Can't get any better than that, can you? He rewards us for our time along with him. And it's blessings. It's those unseen blessings that only you and him, the Lord, God, which reveals to you, is so blessed, so wonderful. Now, looking in verse 7, Jesus said not to use vain repetition and many words. And the term of vain repetition is defined as idle, babbling over the same words again and again for no reason at all, for no person. It's just what Jesus said. You're just doing it to be heard. And this may be the reason why Jesus compared vain repetition to babbling of the pagans. And that's what the pagans did. The goal of prayer. Okay, the goal of prayer. Is not to change God's mind about what you want. The goal of prayer is to change your own heart to want what he wants for the glory of God. That's what it is about. Now, prayer requires more of the heart than of the tongue. See, God knows our heart, and it's the babbling and stuff is pertaining to the tongue. Just use words just to be speaking. But Jesus knows our heart, and when you and I pray, you know, we pray sincerely. We pray from the heart. We pray spirit to spirit, and the Lord hears us that way. Now, the eloquence of prayer consists in the compassion of desire and simpleness of our faith. Our desire to please the Lord. Our prayer is to pray within God's will, and it's to pray with faith. When we pray for someone, we want to pray for their healing. We pray for their salvation. We pray for whatever the need is, and God knows what it is before we even ask of the Lord for it. But he hears us and he answers according to his will. Now, our prayers should be based on that. Just like Jesus said, let your will be done. You know, you and I, when we hear people that are sick, it is our desire that everyone be healed of cancer or whatever the illness may be. We never know what God's will and purpose is for any of our lives, but we are to pray with faith, believing that God will do what is right for his will and his purpose in this life. You know, we probably won't understand all the things of this life until one of these days we see him face to face and we'll have a better understanding of his great love for all of us. He gives us this opportunity to fill this earth with his glory. Whatever we do, we are to fill this world, our community, with the love of Jesus Christ. And that is what he desires in our life. Now, when we look in verse 8, Jesus tells us not to be like the hypocrites, again, with a vain repetition and many, many words. So, I ask my own self this question. Did Jesus mean that we should only ask for something one time and never ask him again? No, that isn't what it means at all. Jesus was warning against the use of prayer to persuade or manipulate God in order to gain some kind of selfish advantage. And we know better than that. We would never do that. But Jesus was warning the Pharisees and the scribes and all of those, the pagans at that time, not to do that. Now, the fact that that is request is repeated doesn't make a vain repetition. For both Jesus in Matthew chapter 26, verses 36 through 46, and Paul repeated their petitions, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 and 8. He said, you know, make your petitions, your supplications, make them clear to the Lord and ask God for his blessing. So when you and I talk to God, go to him with a sincere heart, desiring to seek and to do his will. And that's a daily thing. To seek his will and to do his will on a daily basis. See, that's when we really understand how God is at work in our lives and in the lives of everybody that we meet and in our world today. As we pray, you know, we would see better results in our world if we did this every day. We seek God with all of our heart, soul, and mind, and then we would see how God would work and his will would be done, not only in our lives, but in the lives of others. See, the key to communicating with God on a regular basis, a daily basis, is through his word and through prayer. These are the main sources that we have, that God has given us, to know who he is and how he acts upon our prayers. Oh, so important. And that's what is so important of going to your closet or your secret place, as the Bible describes it, or your room, or your living room, where you use, you sit down and do your daily devotions and prayers. I want to say how important it is to have your time alone with the Lord. He will honor you. He will bless you. He will give you so many understanding, discernment, when you will take that time to be alone with him. I promise you, he will bless you tremendously if you will take that time each day, 5 minutes. I mean, if you even take 2 minutes, you will be blessed. But take 5 or 10, whatever it takes, to read a chapter, to study a chapter. Study a chapter each day. I mean, it might take you 2 or 3 years to get through the Bible, but at least you are given an effort to learn more about God. He wants us to know more about him. If we know more about him, we can better understand the conditions of this world and how we are to react, and we are to witness and be on board with him. See, Jesus doesn't forbid sincere repetition of prayer. In Gethsemane, he prayed 3 times for the purpose to remove the cup. He did. Three times. He prayed once. He prayed twice. He went down to the disciples and saw they was taking a nap. So he said, well, can you just bear with me here 1 hour? So how many hours was Jesus praying? 3, 4, 5 hours, whatever it took. And he prayed three times. Lord, Father, if it be your will, may this cup pass. But God, Jesus knew in his heart that he was sent to this earth for the reason to die for you and me. And that is a praise that we should thank God each day. But God isn't pressured into action when we heap up empty phrases. It's not the function of prayer to inform God, for he already knows what you need before you ask. It reminds me of, you know, Adam and Eve. When God came through the into the Garden of Eden in the cool of the day and asked Adam, where are you? Adam finally raised his head up and said, here we are. God wasn't looking for information. He was looking for a confession. He wants to hear from us. Even when we don't measure up to the righteousness of God, the things that he teaches, he wants our confession. He wants us to be honest with him. And that's the only way that we can. If we're not honest with ourselves, we can't be with him. But he already knows what we need before we ask. So here we are this morning. We are to pray unto God as a child speaks to his father. You remember those days when you were young, you go to your father, your mother, and you would ask. You didn't have a 2 or 3 pages of things that you wanted to confront your parents with. You had one little simple thing that you needed, right? And you made it clear and you said it, and you either got it or you didn't. You had to wait, okay? So, therefore, our address to our Father should be easy, natural, and unaffected. Children do not make long speeches to their parents when they want something, do they? I didn't. I just say, hey, I need this, or I want this, or whatever. Sometimes I got it, sometimes I didn't. So, let's come to our Father with the disposition of a child, with love and reverence and dependence, simply saying unto him, Abba, Father. That's what Jesus says, Abba, Father. That's how we are to address our Heavenly Father. He is a Father that knows our need and knows our desires better than we do ourselves. We just sometimes think we do, right? We just think we do. This is what I need, or this is what I want. And our Heavenly Father says, this is what you will get. This is what is best for you overall. That's how God works. So his eyes, they run to and fro throughout the earth to observe the necessities of his people. That's 2 Chronicles 16:9. You ought to read that one. Read that. That was a fresh one that came to my mind. I thought, well, you know, his eyes is up on the world. He's not at a distance. He's here right here. His eyes is always on us. And they're searching us, you know, earth, and he's observing everything that we do in this earth, on this. And he often gives before we call. Isaiah 65:24. Isaiah says he gives us before we even call. I mean, he makes it so obvious sometimes that we shouldn't forget and misunderstand God's goodness to us. We should just know that God is in favor of us, and more than we ask for. Paul says he gives us more than we even ask for, or more even than we desire sometimes in our life. He gives it to us because he loves us and he cares for us, and that is our need at that moment. Now, in conclusion this morning, I want to summarize what Jesus taught us in these verses. When we pray, we should talk to God as we would a father, to use normal speech. You know, we don't have to use big words to the Father. He knows our hearts already. Just come to him as a child, as your child, as you did when you was a child. You come to the Father and you just ask in normal speech, in normal conversation, as you would talk to someone. You talk to the Lord the same way, in normal conversation. It's not necessary to have some eloquent, rehearsed prayer. God doesn't need to hear that. We should pray with sincerity and say exactly what is on our heart, and he knows it. And there is no need to impress God or others with fancy words or repetition. And that's what Jesus was telling scribes and Pharisees and those of that day. He was looking for a loving relationship. He was their Savior, just as he is ours today. And again, let's come to him with the disposition of a child, with love, reverence, and dependence, simply saying to him, Abba, Father. He is a Father that knows our case and knows our wants better than we know ourselves. He does. He knows the ins and outs and everything about us because he made us, right? He made us. He knows things before they're going to happen. And sometimes we wish we would know ourselves, right? But he's always there to help us out, no matter what. If we come to him with contrite spirit, with the spirit of a child, he won't turn us away. He said, bring the little children to me. All of you come to me. Matthew chapter 28 says, come to me. My yoke is easy. He welcomes us to come to him. He welcomes us to have devotion and time with him. He welcomes us to spend time with him. And you know what? It'll lift your spirits. I promise you, it'll lift your spirits. It'll make your day much brighter. And when you meet people that is down and out, you can help them along the way as well. And you don't know, they may help you as well. And you might be blessed even more by being blessed by someone else. We are to share with one another God's blessings, and we ought to share with one another our time along with the Lord. What we learn with our time along with the Lord in his word and in prayer. You know, a lot of times, you know, you'll be praying. I'll be praying, and God points out something in my life or points out something to me in his word that I wasn't even thinking about at the moment, and it just popped up. I said, thank you, Lord. I needed that. That will help me through this day. It might help me with someone else that has a situation in their life, or maybe need a nature that they haven't received. And maybe they haven't received it because they didn't ask the Father. Several times this week, I was looking for something that didn't know where it was. I didn't particularly lose it, but I couldn't remember where I left it last. And so I said, Lord, you know where it is. I don't. So if you would just take me to it or just remind me in my finite mind. And you know what? Within seconds, it came to me. That's how God works. It is, I promise you. I'm not staying here just blowing words this morning, smoke. that actually happened. And when you think about that, you ask him first, you're much a lot better off than you will spend an hour wasting time, right? Don't waste time. Go to the Lord first. Go to him in prayer. Spend time in the Word. I promise you, your day will be better. Let us pray. Father God, we praise your holy name. Thank you, Lord, for your love and kindness. The Hesed word from Hebrews, from the Old Testament. The Hebrews knew all about your love and kindness, and we know about your love and kindness as well. And we learn about it in your word as we read and study and spend our time along with you as we pray. It's so important that we communicate with you because you want to hear from us and you do want to bless us. And Lord, you won't withhold any blessing from us when we come to you with humble hearts, contrite spirits, seeking you with all our heart, soul, and mind. Lord, whatever the need is here today, you tell us in Romans that your Holy Spirit will help us, and we will find comfort in you, knowing that your grace is so sufficient, always in time of need. Lord, bless each and every one here, Lord, this day, because they have come to hear your word. They have come to hear your Spirit speak to them. You speak to us anywhere we are, but nothing like being assembled together in your house, in your sanctuary, where that we can unite together in fellowship, in the love and care and the fellowship that you have for each one of us right here. Lord, thank you that you welcome us to come to you. As we sing our invitation, Lord, whatever your Holy Spirit is telling us in our heart and our mind, may we respond in return. Lord, we praise you and we thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Let us stand as we sing our invitation. What a friend we have in Jesus.